The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is alongside me. I am the Bulldog. Welcome in to the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Mike Schoep has the afternoon off today following a Buffalo victory in Indianapolis 30-20 thanks to a late second garbage time touchdown for the Colts to make the score look more competitive than I think this game ultimately really was. The Bills improved to 8-2 on the season. The Chiefs, man. The Chiefs! I'm happy the Bills, you know, got this win, Nate. I guess I'm grateful that Joe Flacco played quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. I wasn't thrilled about that decision a couple of weeks ago, but holy cow, he was a disaster. Turned it over four times. You got to wonder, you know, whether they'll switch back to the kid after that, because that is not helping you at all here. But man, we were so close to having the showdown for the top spot in the conference next Sunday, and the stupid Chiefs got to go and block a chip shot field goal on the final play of the game. Darn it.
I want to tell you, like, everybody's lamenting of the luck, and certainly there is luck that's involved in that stuff. But there's, like, I just don't know if, like, every time the Bills or, like, a team plays the Chiefs that, like, the Chiefs enact some sort of historic curse against that team, because it's just the luck. It's really lack of the Chiefs getting lucky and the other team being remarkably unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, credit them for getting through to block the field goal. I didn't get a close enough look at it to see, you know, how great a play that was. Only got the one replay quickly on CBS, and I saw it a couple times on social media. So, you know, credit to them. They made a play. But, man, I'm watching this Bills game just, you know, waiting for the clock to run down so we can start the show. And speaking of starting the show, here's Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
Got to hold on to the football, you know, through two, and can't have that. But gritted it out. That was a team win right there.
Look, you didn't have you had some guys miss it today. You had guys that haven't really played much running fast batters for you. So what does it say that you guys were able to get this thing done with a depleted lineup?
Yeah, I mean, again, guys stepping up, knowing their job, knowing their assignment, and going out there and executing. Can be cleaner. That's me. So again, just making sure we're communicating well and. Just trying to hold on to football, and you know, we got to play better on offense.
How big was that drive at the end to put it away? Because I mean, it was still a game.
Yeah, that was awesome. And we always talk about ending the game on our terms, and having the ball. I don't know, there's probably 7-8 minutes left. I'm not really quite sure, but going down there and getting six the way we did it, it was a long, grueling drive, and got a lot of guys that just gritted it out, and guys are hurt, playing through injuries. So I'm proud of our guys.
8-2 now, best start of your career, best start under Coach McDermott, best start for the Bills since 1993. After all the talk this offseason, what's the feeling being at this point at 8-2?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to get to 8 wins through 10 games. You know, still got a lot of season left, so we're not really looking at it as that. It's just really on to the next one.
Two passes, 44 to Hollins, end of first half. When you're scrambling, what did you see him?
Saw him late. Saw a linebacker kind of underneath him, put one in the air for a little bit. He said that window, the sun was kind of peeking through, so he couldn't really see it. So I'm just glad that he was able to secure it. Got out of bounds, and getting points before half was really big for us. So, very proud of our guys for that two-minute drill.
And the slip screen to secure the guy 30. When you watch him.
That was the biggest. I went up to him and said, that's the biggest play of the game. Third and eight. We understood what type of pressure that they were going to bring there, had an alert on it. We saw it. We alerted it, and guys went out there and made some plays. But, again, his contact balance running through would-be tacklers and, staying on his feet. He's very elite at that, and we needed that right there.
You were without Kincaid for some of the game and obviously the receivers. Did you have to manage frustration, or did you have to be more patient today because guys just hadn't been out there as much?
No, just trusting the play calls, trusting the guys that were in there, and just trying to run our offense to the best of my ability. And again, I don't feel like I did that today. Wish I had a couple throws back, especially early on, but we'll take 8-2.
We were up in the press box. We were wondering a little bit why you guys weren't running the ball a little bit more, given the receiver situation. It felt like a game where you could have got James and Ray. What you guys were insistent on passing the ball. Can you maybe explain a little bit of that?
I just think just understanding what type of defense they play. They got a pretty good defensive line. We'd love to run it and get a bunch of yards, and we'd love to throw it and get a bunch of yards. So it's just kind of the flow of the game and just trusting what Joe's calling.
Hey Josh, you obviously are aware of what's next week. 9-0 Kansas City. So you guys, what kind of measuring stick will that be for where you guys are at?
It'll be week 11. Again, we're just going to try to put our best foot forward, have a good week of practice, and try to win a football game against a really good football team. It's the biggest one because it's the next one.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Bills quarterback Josh Allen, his post-game meeting with the media here on the Buffalo Bills post-game show. Nate Geary in for Mike. I am the Bulldog. We'll hear from Sean McDermott shortly. Eventually, we'll get around to taking some of your phone calls here. And when we do, we call that getting connected to our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Nate, can you hit us up with the Skyworks stats of the game, please? Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up.
Sure can, Bulldog. Josh Allen finishing the game 22 of 37, 280 yards. No touchdowns through the air. He did have one on the ground, two interceptions. He was sacked twice and finished with a passer rating of 60.6. And James Cook leading the way on the ground, 19 for 80 and a score in this game. Josh Allen, 8 for 50 and a score as well. And then leading, receiving just what everybody predicted, Bulldog. Matt Collins, 4 for 86 in this game and a long of 44 yards. Khalil Shakir adding 6 for 58 as well.
We'll have lots of time to talk about some of the subtle and not so subtle things from this game as we go. The depleted receiving core. Now we've got Dalton Kincaid nursing a knee injury that he left the game with, returned, and then ultimately left for good just after halftime. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that as we get through this week. It's time for us to take a timeout. 30-20, the final from Indy. The Bills improved to 8-2. They host 9-0 Kansas City a week from today at Highmark Stadium at 4:25. We'll take a timeout here, come back, we'll get to your phone calls, and of course the head coach's post-game meeting with the media as we get rolling here on this post-game show. Again, Nate Geary in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to pass on a five-step drop. Looking down the right side, it's batted out of the air, or was it fumbled? Greg Rousseau, did he strip it out? Yes, he did, and it's Buffalo football. Damar Hamlin haps on the fumble. It's Buffalo ball in midfield. Greg Rousseau with a gigantic play.
Tough day for veteran quarterback Joe Flacco. Three picks and that fumble recovered by the Bills. So four turnovers directly attributed to Joe Flacco as the Bills beat him and the Colts 30-20 this afternoon in Indianapolis. Good to have you with us here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. I am the Bulldog, joined by Nate Geary, who's filling in for Mike Shope today. And Nate, how much of a concern moving forward? I mean, I felt like this passing game today, Allen ended up with a respectable total yards passing, and his rushing was great today. But holy cow, I feel like they're really missing a couple of guys. And if Kincaid is in any way hurt enough to miss a game, I dread to think what it's going to look like next Sunday when they get on the field against Kansas City.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, Kincaid goes down with the injury, because, you know, before that, it looked like, Bulldog, that he got injured on the play where he's reaching out and Josh Allen just overthrows him. So it's like adding insult to literally injury there is if Allen puts it on the number, it's probably a walk-in touchdown. And instead, you know, Dalton Kincaid's diving for the ball, hurts his knee, and, you know, doesn't finish the game. So, a difficult spot there, a tough one there for the Bills. But moving forward, you know, you're hoping that Amari Cooper can, you know, he was close today, but they decided to hold him back, and maybe this is a he'll be back next week sort of thing. But they got to get healthy and get healthy quick. I would tell you that it feels pretty nice to have the bye week coming up. And maybe part of this too is, surely it won't be fun trying to go against what I think is probably the league's best defense in Kansas City next week, with down three of your four top weapons. I just, even if they're all healthy, I still am a firm believer that I'm not taking any particular stock in the outcome of next week's game, win or lose. And I actually mean that. If they win, I'm going to feel the same way after the game if they lose. I'm not being dramatic about it.
Have you given up on the one seed because KC's 9-0? Like, if that kick goes through, are you feeling that way? Because
yes, I still want to say I feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to run the race. I mean,
yeah.
So close. So you know, and I don't think these games where they beat the Chiefs, I know they haven't beaten them in the playoffs, but I neither think that they're meaningless. What they are to me is proof that you can play with that team and beat that team. That they are not superior to you. They have got your number in the playoffs. There's no arguing that with the three consecutive wins. But I don't know. I'll be less casual than you, I think, are sounding about next Sunday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to let everybody know the way it works here on this post-game show. We will be talking now until Sean McDermott comes to the podium to address the media following this win. So there's time for your calls here. Lines are open at 716-803-0550 if you want to get in and react to anything that you saw today, positively or negatively, and look ahead to next week and the showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs, which Nate just told us he doesn't care about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I kind of did say that. Yeah,
I kid.
I mean, I guess really what it comes from is just I know how I felt about seasons past when the Bills beat them in the regular season, and it just, there is no carryover. There's no, you know, lessons learned. Mm-hmm. It's every single one of these games is in a vacuum when they face the Kansas City Chiefs. There's just, there just ends up being too many variables. That's why if they blow the Chiefs out, I will feel no better about their matchup if they have to play in the AFC divisional round.
I mentioned when we'll get to Sean McDermott here eventually. I want to squeeze in here. When we do, his coach's podium news conference will be brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Hey, how about a hat tip to Taron Johnson? We heard him with
No, I was saying like, yeah, I mean, he's, he had himself a game.
I thought that was our producer talking in my ear for a second when you interjected there. Sorry. Yeah, Taron Johnson, I mean, nice way to start the game. First offensive play for the Colts, and it's a pick six.
Yeah, he's a damn – actually, let's maybe give flowers to both of these slot corners. These are two of the three best slot corners in the league, and they both – put on a display. It feels like, I mean, with a sack, an interception, and a touchdown, can we wrap up the defensive player of the week and just go ahead and give that to Taron Johnson?
I'm going to have to take a look around the league first, Nate. I'm not sure what else may have happened in the league, but yeah, it was certainly a tremendous performance.
Were you like leading me into the lead on the around the league, or was that just
No, I was not. No, I would be if that were sponsored, but I don't think it is. So
but I can tell you this, Bulldog, we can get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Verizon.
Sweet.
Yeah, and go to our local Verizon store today. Let's go to Matt in Lancaster. Matt, you're on the post game show. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say that I really think that the regular season games actually are very meaningful. And it's not just, playoffs or bust. And with that, I'm talking about our games against KC and whether or not they mean something. Because in the end, we've had a magical run here and we still hopefully have several more. And being a season ticket holder and going to the games, it is so exciting and awesome. And when I'm at that game this coming week, hopefully when we beat KC, that's going to mean a lot. And I think it does have an impact going into the playoffs. But just the overall idea of, the regular season doesn't mean anything. It's just getting to the playoffs. It's really, all the memories that I have over, 30 years of going are all regular season. And it's great to have that. So I don't take a regular season game against the Chiefs for granted.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I also think it matters, but not so much for me emotionally as for me it's about the standings. And I recognize that the Chiefs just escaped again today and blocked a field goal at the gun that could have given them their first loss. So this game next Sunday between the Bills and Chiefs would have been for the top spot in the conference. That's the stake I've been dreaming of. That's the stake I've been talking about for more than a month. Let's get that team in here with a loss and see if you can't catch them and pass them on a tiebreaker. Or head-to-head, and I still think even though they're 9-0, you've seen every week, every game they play, they are vulnerable. Like they could lose any of these games. So whoever the opponent is, I'm going to want to get that one and just hope I can hold serve. I know the Bills have got some tough games coming up here against the Chiefs, but the Niners, the Lions, and even the Rams after that. It might not be realistic, especially if you drop this game to Kansas City, but if you get it and are a game back, I'm going to want to keep going and going hard. And that's why the regular season games matter to me. The sentiment about the playoffs being the only thing we're here for, I totally respect and get, because all of these seasons that we're enjoying so much have always ended with a thud in the playoffs, especially against the Chiefs. So, that's what the Bills have yet to prove. But I think the one seed is still worth playing for. So that's why I care about this game, not so much for memories, I would say.
Yeah, and I think there's, maybe it's more not – maybe care is the wrong word for me, but more like putting any level of stock into the game. It's not like I'm going to go to the game, Sunday and put my feet up and, just enjoy my time and not care what happens. I'm still going to be emotionally invested like I am in any game. I think where I want to make sure that I go with this game is not – coming away from this game with any level of post-game narrative that is going to change based on the outcome. I don't think either team's trajectory changes whether there's a 20-point win or a 1-point win by either team. I think it's more so just believing about this game not having a real impact on what will happen later on this season other than to say, if the Bills can get a win, they'd probably have to win out to still win and still get that number one seed. And I don't know. I think it's very unrealistic that that the Chiefs lose more than two or three games this season.
I think there could be a point here where the argument to be made is to sort of let the Chiefs fly and be free. Right. And just worry about your own house here and get yourself healthy. And maybe, you know, if the one is out of hand or out of reach for the Bills, by the time we get to, you know, week 16, week 17, week 18, then maybe they can handle that like little mini buys for themselves if they're not going to get the actual bye and week one of the playoffs off. And, you know, falling out of that race would provide you that opportunity. I think as long as you're in it, you're going to keep leaning into going as hard as you can. So that's going to be a balance that I think we're going to be talking a lot about, especially if the Chiefs get this game from the Bills next week, and it gets even less realistic to consider the Bills having a shot at the top seed.
Agreed. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Ross in Rochester. Ross, you are on the post-game show. Good evening, Ross.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to let like everyone know about the game next weekend. Kind of what you guys were touching up on, Chiefs are 9-0, and I think everyone's talking about kind of like how they're kind of escaping with these wins. But the fact is that they have the second best quarterback of all time already. You know what I'm saying? I think if he got injured and never played again, he'd be the second best quarterback of all time. Three Super Bowls out of five seasons, I believe. I don't know if those stats are correct. But the fact is that everyone needs to stop whining about how Patrick Mahomes is getting lucky with these block kicks and these interceptions. I know his stats are similar to Daniel Jones, but he's a dog. He fights, and he's going to win most of these games. I think they're coming again for the chip. I think them versus, and they take it again. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ross.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I don't. You're not going to hear me call them. Well, I guess if you say that they escaped, then I think you're implying that they were lucky. They blocked a field goal with 1 second to go in the game. Like if the Bills won that game,
16 points,
I'd be saying they escaped. Yeah. So, you know, there's luck implied when you use that phrasing. And I you know, you got to be lucky sometimes. It counts just the same, you know. So I don't disrespect the Chiefs, but they are getting by this year. I mean, to the tune of 9-0, it's kind of incredible. But any game that they play, I feel like they're in danger of losing. I mean, you know, any game you play in the NFL, you could say that about any matchup. But I mean, them in particular this year, every game they've played, they could have lost. It was right there, that close.
And I'll say this. I think both things can be true. Patrick Mahomes can be the second best quarterback of all time. He's also having his worst statistical season of his career, like short of like the beginning of his rookie year. Their offense is not scoring at a particularly high clip. Their defense hasn't given up 30 points in 28 games. So he hasn't needed to be perfect. But I think you can agree with both things that they have gotten significant. I mean, they've gotten a lot of luck. They've gotten calls, bounces. And to me, I'm all for them getting all the breaks, all the blocks, the bounces, all of those things happen now. Because to me, there's just eventually the coin has to flip the other direction. Eventually, something unlucky will have to happen to them. That is just the way of sports. Like, they can't be like in, you know, the meme from I forget what show it is, but you know, they can't keep getting away with this. It sort of feels like their time's going to come. They're gonna get the short straw, I think, eventually, and that's okay because he'll still be the second greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 716-803-0550 is the number if you want to hop in. We're awaiting Sean McDermott's post-game meeting with the media, so we will cut to that as soon as we get word that that is starting to happen. Until then, it's just us hanging out, talking about this game. It was good to see Josh Allen on the move today, Nate. His running was really, really a key in this game. Not just the touchdown. I mean, he got them out of jail there on that last drive before the garbage time touchdown by the Colts that I think was really important.
I think looking back at this game, I think it signifies two things, Bulldog. A, that the hand's healthy because I think he's got a little bit more confidence running with the football. This was the most we've seen him run the football since week one when the injury occurred towards the end of that game and that touchdown. Two, that it still exists when this team is backed into a corner offensively, they can rely on his legs.
All right, let's go to Bills head coach Sean McDermott now on the Bills postgame show.
Whether it was at the hotel last night or around town, just you could just get the feel that there was a lot of red, white, and blue in town here, and we certainly appreciate that. Just a couple notes to get us started here. I thought that the defense and the takeaways was a big-time difference in the game, and then also getting momentum back after our turnovers with some key stops, some fourth-down stops. Sam and Tyler had good days overall, I thought, especially, you know, the kick before half by Tyler, big kick for us right there to get some momentum at least going into half. And then offensively, we had some guys down here and guys stepping up. Mac Hollins, one of them, just one of them. But a key play right before half, and then have the wherewithal to get out of bounds. And I thought that was huge. And that last drive that we had, up there and to go to put that drive together, I thought Josh, Khalil, James Cook was a great drive, high-level drive as an offense in that type of situation when we needed it. Taron Johnson making some big plays, obviously, with the pick six, and Austin Johnson coming up with another interception on the screen. We were able to make them one-dimensional, which was important for us. Resilient win overall, very resilient win, and guys just keep stepping up, so time's yours.
On offense, how much of a grind was it today, minus your receivers, and Kincaid goes down, how did Josh manage that?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's got a couple throws he wants back, and those are important for him and for us, just all hands on deck. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, you're out Keon, you're out Amari, you're out Dalton for the majority of the game, I would say, or somewhere thereabouts. And, Joe, the staff, they didn't flinch. They just kept dialing it up, trying to adjust. I thought the communication at halftime was great by the entire staff, defensively and special teams included. So, I tip my cap to those guys, the staff, and the game plan they put together and the players executed.
The defense just in the second half, I mean, Taylor has 5 carries for 7 yards after, being pretty successful in the first half. Just the job your crew did in the second half there?
Yeah. That's run defense is usually fundamentally based, and I thought that they did a phenomenal job, again, adjusting at halftime with some good information sharing, that was being shared from the booth, and some good communication and collaboration, which it always takes, and the players went and executed. Bobby, I thought, called a really good game, in particular in the second half, based off of what the Colts showed in the first half, and the players executed. We got a couple takeaways there as well, so that was good stuff.
Greg Rousseau, it seems like it's always been there. It would flash, but the consistency that he's arrived at this season, is he playing maybe some of the best football of his career that you've seen?
That was a big, I think he had the sack fumble, right? Just taking advantage of opportunities, right? Players are in situations where they have opportunities to make plays, and he's making them, and as well as other players on our team, making some plays. And again, Austin stands out, Q Jeff, Mac, Josh, of course, and then Khalil on that perimeter screen late in the game. That was a huge conversion right there, but just high level of execution.
You mentioned Shakir on that screen. When you're watching from the sideline, how many times do you think he's down?
I lose him. He's a little guy, so I lose him. I'm a little guy. He's a little guy, so I'm trying to see over people, and I can't see. And then I hear the crowd. I hear the Bills fans at this stadium, and they tell me that it's a first down because I know that's what we were looking at. I think it was like 3rd and 8, third and 8 situation. So, all that goes into it to me is a great example of our team, right? The call. The execution of the call, the fundamentals, the heart and desire. To me, it's a kind of a shadow of our team right there.
Everyone knows that the Chiefs are next week. I know you don't look ahead, but in some guys, they're going to think a little bit probably about that game. You're coming to Indy, it's not a prime time. It's another game, but there is that game looming next week. You like the way your team kept focused.
They did. Yeah, they did a great job, led by our leadership group. They just did a great job. When they lead by example, that's the strongest way to lead, right? And you know, there's too many in there that I would that I can name. I'll probably leave somebody out, but just very intentional this week on the focus, because there's a lot of got a lot of young guys that we're counting on to play and play meaningful minutes and plays. And you guys write it right about, hey, this is probably, I don't know, I don't pay too much attention, but Derek gives me the heads up on some things from time to time, and it's this is a week to week league, and you guys know that, you've been around for a long time.
Sean, you might like what you read. Is it a while?
I do it in the off season.
Sean, the Colts had the ball near midfield right before halftime. You get a couple of yards on third down, line up to go for it on fourth, but decide not to, and they kick it back to you. Offensively, you guys have been so successful at picking up fourth and short. How much of a weapon is that, that you can stop it defensively and you feel like you can pick it up offensively?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the same thing, Josh, you know, they were in a fourth down and short situation. You know, I wanted to use a timeout there to just see what they were going to do, and they decided to, you know, hard count us. I thought the discipline in that situation by our defensive line and our group there was high level, and then, like you said, they punted back to us and were able to get the 3 points before half. So a lot of those things, you know, that's kind of one of those things that flies under the radar sometimes. But, you know, Dennis Locke was up in the booth and we were talking through that situation. So he's saying, hey, if they get to a fourth down, because sometimes you want to make sure they're not going for it right there. So took a little bit of a chance, but it worked out. And before I move forward, I want to congratulate the Lubick family. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Mark had to drive home this morning first thing as his wife was in the hospital giving birth here. So we're extremely grateful that he's, last I heard, he was about a half hour out from the hospital, but he had a baby, I believe a baby boy. So blessings, and very grateful that he and his wife are, and the baby are doing well. So.
Named after you, Sean McGinnis.
Could name it Bill. I mean, you know, hey, like, it'd be kind of fitting, right?
First quarter, you're up 10-3, and you went for it on 4th-and-3, which is not 4th-and-1. You didn't get it. Why were you so aggressive that early in the game, already up? You could have gone up 10 at that point.
Just felt like, you know, the plan we had was to be aggressive, and you know, I have tremendous confidence. Every situation is different, but I have tremendous confidence in Josh and our players. Looked like we had an opportunity there, and I felt like we had an opportunity on third down as well, leading into that. And so I just think every game's different, and you know, I like the ball in Josh's hands. So they made the play. I don't regret the decision. I regret the result, naturally, but you know, we'll see as we move forward here. But just felt like, you know, this is a team that I think their record was what it was. I can't remember what it was because it's really not important, but every loss that they had was by 8 points or less. So this is a good football team, well-coached football team. We've got a ton of respect for them.
Terrence said he made a mistake earlier in the season that cost a big play. And he thinks that the Colts believed they were going to kind of bait him into doing the same thing. And he said that they didn't, and that was the pick six. How proud of you hearing something like that, Taryn learned from the mistake and made him pay for it?
Yeah, well, he's one of our leaders that I was referring to earlier, Josh. And when you lead by example, again, that just, everyone's going to make mistakes. But when you can learn from it and say, hey, this is, you know, quite honestly, a copycat league where people try the same plays, sometimes week to week, even though it may not be in their repertoire normally. And right away, the first play was one of those plays, and he picked it.
What does it do for your team that on different weeks, different sides or different players can step up? You know, some weeks it's the offense. They need a play at the end. They get down the field. They kick a field goal last week. This week, you know, the defense essentially pitches a shutout in the second half. What does that do for, like, the psyche and the mentality of your team, knowing that maybe their side doesn't always have to be the one that seals it?
Yeah, I think they're just very competitive. They're a very competitive group. They take a lot of pride in not letting each other down. They love each other. I think that's a big piece of this. This is a team has a pretty strong bond. And then again, that starts with the players and the leadership group and leading by example and guys getting together when they're not in the building. And same thing with the significant others, the wives and whatnot, with the groups that they share together when the players or at the facility working. So I think Buffalo is unique in that way, and Kyle Williams taught me that years ago with and actually, you know, when I first sat down with Jim and Thurman and those guys years ago when I first got here, how you know, Buffalo provides an opportunity and a unique opportunity because of the community and the way it's laid out.
How do you try to make next week just one game when it's going to be the game of the week and fans are going to be going nuts about it? How do you keep your team focused that it's 1 week?
Yeah. I just think, you know, they've been able to do a good job of that to this point. And, you know, the expectations that we have for ourselves are the most important ones. We certainly understand, you know, everybody putting a lot into this coming game. And we will, too. But we put a lot into every game. If we don't, we're doing ourselves a disservice. So we owe that every week to ourselves and to our fans to put the same amount of preparation every week. And it's a good football team that's coming in, an undefeated football team and well coached. So we have a ton of respect for them. So we got to see if we can get a little bit healthy here and put the week of preparation in and move forward from there. All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Coach's podium meeting with the media brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Bills over the Colts, 30-20, a showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are an undefeated 9-0, looms next Sunday, 4:25 in Orchard Park. We'll take a timeout here, come back, take lots more of your calls at 716-803-0550 as we continue on this Buffalo Bills postgame show. Nate Geary is in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog, and this is Buffalo Bills football.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen. Through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Yeah, no big deal. He's going to stiff arm this dude in the face and go score. Eye on the quarterback here on the Bills postgame show is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Allen on the ground, not a prolific day, just the one touchdown there and 50 yards, but man, it felt like every one of those yards was important. So big day running the ball for Josh Allen. Want to let our stations along the line here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network know that we're going to take a 10-second pause right now to allow you all to identify yourselves. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
All right. Thanks for hanging with us here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Bills over the Colts 30-20. Nate Geary is in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog. And do we have a tasty caller waiting to get on the show here, Nate?
We certainly do, and we'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Anthony in Rochester. Anthony, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted your opinion on a couple of things, the first being don't get me wrong when I say any of this. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan, but I'm starting to get concerned about the Jekyll and Hyde slow starts. The kid has made some of the most incredible throws and some of the most incredible plays I've ever seen, but missing Kincaid when he's wide open, just I don't know if like he's playing through something and we're just not aware of it or what have you. Love to hear your thoughts on that. But the second thing is I'm not convinced we're going to catch Kansas City for the one seed, and I almost see that as a way of actually, in the end, exercising the demon, so to speak, because there would be nothing sweeter than letting Kansas City go absolutely undefeated and then beating them in the playoffs and then going on to win the Super Bowl. What do you guys think? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I mean, that's a hell of a scenario. Sure, who out there, you know, would not sign up for that? It means losing to them next week, sure. But, yeah, I mean, what matters most is how you handle them should you see them in January is what's going to matter the most.
Yeah, I think you could tell Anthony's a romantic. He's really looking for some kind of almost like rom-com situation to play out for later in the season. We'll hope for the best. His other point, though, about the offense and being worried about Josh Allen, Bulldog, I don't know about you, but after watching these games, I'll watch the replay again tonight and then all 22 at some point this week. Even in these slow starts, I'm not looking at the games and watching these games and thinking to myself, man, Josh Allen is the only one that's got to be better in these situations. The play calling to start these games, the game script is what you would call the first usually 20 scripted plays of every game, have not been particularly good. I think they've punted. In their last three games, they've gotten the ball to start the game, and they've punted on all three of those possessions.
Yeah, they haven't been sharp to start. I mean, he's down a lot of guys out there, but he missed Kincaid. The interception, the first interception, not the one that the corner made the good break on the ball to Samuel, but the first one, I think he got hit just enough to throw that off.
Yep, I agree with that.
Right? I think I even saw him gesturing or explaining that on the sideline after the play. Like he was moving in a way that sort of indicated, like, I got nudged from the side and that just threw the trajectory of that pass off. But, yeah, look, they're going to have to find the way to muddle through until they get some guys back, and I don't know how soon that's going to happen. Cooper was down in this game. So was Coleman. Now Kincaid had a knee injury that forced him to leave the game early. Those are three vital guys, I think, for them to be at full strength. And I'd like to be as close to full strength as I can be when I've got the Chiefs rolling in here. Thanks a lot for the call, Anthony. Appreciate it very much. We'll hit up another timeout here. Got a whole another hour to go here. And then Nate, even after I'm done, Nate is going to keep going. So we got lots of time to take your calls at 716-803-0550. We'll get around the locker room again eventually near the end of the next hour as we make our way through this postgame show. Bills over the Colts 30-20. Along with Nate Geary, I am the Bulldog, and this is Buffalo Bills football.
Back to pass. Has to roll away from pressure again. Rolling out to his right. Throws as he's got Mac Hollins at the 32-yard line complete, and he alertly runs out of bounds with 8 seconds left.
That was a big play near the end of the half when the Bills were in danger of, I think, well, there wasn't that much time left in the end there. You heard Brownie say 8 seconds there. But for a bit there, it looked like they might have to punt it back to Indy, and maybe they would be able to mount their own last moments of the half field goal drive or worse. But Allen got out of some trouble there, got them into field goal range, and they eventually did kick a field goal. Welcome back into the Buffalo Bills postgame show. I am the Bulldog. Nate Geary sitting in for Mike Shope today. The Bills beat the Colts this afternoon in Indianapolis 30-20, and will face the undefeated 9-0 Kansas City Chiefs next Sunday at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park at 4:25.
What do you think? Get back to the phones here, Bulldog.
Fire it up, bro. Right.
Let's go to John in Cheektowaga. John, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
I want to talk about the play where Allen was running up the middle, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Odoyingbo threw three or four very blatant haymakers right at Allen's head. And the refs either didn't see it or saw it and chose not to call it. Do you think that this is going to be addressed by New York? Do you think they're going to go back and look at this? And this rises to the level of Ndamukong Suh or Burfict-style goonism. Like, I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
It definitely was dirty. I don't know that it rises to the level of, like, you know, stomping on someone's leg. But it was definitely dirty, pretty egregious. And can something be pretty egregious? I think it's either egregious or it's not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I didn't notice it live, so, you know, I don't know what that tells you about the officiating. I didn't notice it live, but the replay, I mean, it was blatant. It's one of those deals where, Nate, I'm sort of thinking, where's Skyref? Oh, no, they can't. They won't make a call unless they feel like it, and they're not really telling you that they did, but sometimes they maybe do. But, you know, it's just vagaries that we live with. But, yeah, it was pretty dirty. I don't know that I need the league to what? I mean, who are you going to care if they find the guy $5,000, $15,000, or $55,000? I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either. I will say, though, for them to call the Spencer Brown personal foul penalty where he, I don't know, like voiced his displeasure with the player.
He stood menacingly over a smaller player.
Yeah.
That's what I saw happen there.
And, I mean, maybe he said something that warranted a flag that we simply did not hear on the broadcast, but for that to be called, and it's not like, to me, the play that was should have been a personal foul wasn't even, I mean, I think it was separate from the multiple like haymakers that he was throwing to the back of Josh Allen's head. But also it was like after that play, that same defensive lineman, like, just, I don't know, dragged himself over James Cook as in to like taunt and like stand over him and taunt him. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to really make of that other than to tell you the league probably won't fine him for that, I would guess.
That would be my guess.
Because they're wishy-washy with the fines anyway, so.
Yeah.
And I don't care. They're not playing the Colts again, and it won't have much bearing
right.
on
it. To the caller's point, it was dirty. No question.
Let's go to Kevin in Ohio. Kevin, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Kevin.
Hey, Nate and Bulldog, good to chat with you. Happy Victory Sunday evening. Hey, Nate, I love listening to you guys, your content on YouTube, too. So I'm going to kind of address this here to Bulldog, and Mike's not here, but you guys are more the gamblers. I kind of look at the season. If we all sat there back in July and said, after all the moves that were made, that we'd be 8-2 at this point in time, we'd all like be jumping up for joy, saying, yeah, we'd sign up for that. I look at we're playing with house money now, and I like the idea of playing the Chiefs next week. I'm glad they won today. I would like to be the first to hang a loss on them. We're not going to get the one seed. Our schedule, their schedule, we're not going to get the one seed. But it would be nice to just give them that, you know, chip their tooth a little bit and get the one seed. I am. And then, hey, the last caller, that was those push-tush thing plays, they're scrums. Everything goes in a scrum. Everybody's swinging at the ball, trying to knock it loose. You know, that's just the way it is. He's a free runner. He's not a quarterback back in the pocket.
I hear you. And the guy probably was hoping to be getting a poke at the ball, but he punched Allen. He punched him in the head. I think that's against the rules, even in a scrum. I don't think you're allowed to do that.
So two things.
Well, real quick,
yes.
You know, the one's out of reach. I'm glad the Chiefs won. Well, I mean, with that kind of attitude, of course the one's out of reach. Dig in a little, man.
What kind of hatred is that? Well, I've got two things from his call. The first one, where are the bettors? Me and you?
Guess
you letting Mike off the hook like that?
Just keep moving.
The guy with 90 fantasy teams, were the betters? All right. Anyways, I did like his point, though, about, you know, this is sort of playing with house money. They're off to an 8-2 start, which is the best since Sean McDermott has taken over as head coach. I want to maybe consider the fact that going into this season, they were widely considered to have the most difficult schedule in the league coming into this game, or coming into the season, I mean. Losing the player players that they lost, the transitional and rebuilding and step back, like all of these sort of terms that were being thrown around about this Bills team in the offseason. And having the best record since 1993, by the way, since the last time that they were in a Super Bowl, I would tell you that playing with house money, I think, is a great way to put it, because I'm not sure a lot of people, if you're of the mind that you thought the Bills would be 8-2 through 10 weeks, I'd like to know what other lottery tickets you might have bought in that
right,
time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a record that, I mean, you could have hoped for it.
Sure.
You could have called us and convinced me that they're going to win this game and that game and whatever. 8-2. I mean, back in August, I'm signing in blood for it.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, it just no. Oh, well, but you could be better. No, 8-2 is really good. I know there's a 9-0 team out there, and you're going to have to deal with them next week and probably in January again. But 8-2 it's tremendous.
It definitely feels nice, especially, again, like kind of thinking about where a lot of our heads were going into the season.
Yeah.
Is can you win a division with 10 wins? You know, I think those were kind of the conversations being had. Let's go to Jacob in Buffalo. Jacob, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Jacob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I always listen to you guys after a game. Two quick things. I'm going to do them in the opposite order that I was originally planning on, because you already talked about the one. So the first one is the Colts defense and, punching Allen in the head repeatedly during a scrum. Dirty as all get out, and I was appalled to see it, and especially how they showed a close-up of the guy who did it after, and he was kind of laughing about it, which I just thought was absolutely classless. Like, the guy was lucky to not get a personal foul. And it coincided with, like, throughout the game, even later in the game, Allen slid after getting a first down, and he was clearly hit late, like just consistent stuff like that throughout the game that really made me lose a lot of respect for that defense with the way that they had played. And then even going for the meaningless touchdown at the end on offense, which, you know, I don't even know why you do that if someone can get hurt at the end. But really the main reason I wanted to call is what a game from Mac Hollins, man. I know people had some issues earlier in the year where he was getting more targets than he might should have because, you know, career special teamer and we had people healthy. But four catches for 80-ish yards, and it felt like every single one of them was on a key third down. And on top of it all, that just absolutely clutch move to get up and get out of bounds to save the field goal attempt. It just felt like every single catch that guy made today was game-changing in some respect or another. Other than that, I'll hang up and let you guys talk. I'm interested to see what you think.
All right, thank you. Hollins had a really nice day, and good for him. Like, you know, I'm one who's ready to take a victory lap when they acquire Amari Cooper, and that means a decrease in snap count for Mac Hollins, and I stand by that. I mean, I still think they're better with Amari Cooper and Keon Coleman on the field than Mac Hollins, but he had his opportunity today, and he came through. So, you know, good on him. Good catch on the Allen slide. I also thought, because you don't have to touch him down. He's given himself up. And so, you know, it wasn't the most violent late hit, but it still was a late hit on a quarterback who'd given himself up. And I thought that should have been a flag. Really, of the three plays involving Allen that you could complain about, the punches on the quarterback sneak, this play that we're talking about, and then the one that drew the flag on Spencer Brown near the goal line when Allen tumbled out of bounds with a DB there, that was the least egregious of the one, and the Bills ended up with a penalty on it because Spencer Brown went over there and was, I don't know, lurking, which was kind of weird. But the one in the middle of the field there when he slid, I thought quarterback, you guys get that call. I was a little surprised to see him not get it.
Yeah, and it's tough because there are probably several calls a year where Josh Allen kind of flops and gets the call. But you know, you'd like to see one or both of those get called in a game like this where you've had a couple of ticky-tack calls that, you know, went against the Bills. You'd like to see them go in the other direction. But I tend to find that these personal foul penalties, these roughing the passer penalties, they tend to even out throughout the year. Like, the Bills are going to get some. Some are going to go against the Bills. Either way, you're going to get and have against you egregious calls against the quarterback. It's just that's the nature of the league as it stands right now. Let's go to Jason in Washington. Jason, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was calling because I wanted to see what you guys thought about how we're failing to protect Josh Allen when it comes to he's the kind of guy that's a once-in-a-generation quarterback, somebody who's going to run through a wall for you, and he's not going to last if they don't do more to protect him, like something like the play that we're talking about today where Spencer Brown comes up and gets in the player's face. I think at that point he's got to do exactly what that player did to Josh, throw him to the ground, send a message that this team's going to stick up for him. Otherwise, he's not going to last. He's going to keep taking too many hits. And
Well, who's we, Jason? Like the offensive line, the coaching staff, the referees?
The play caller?
Yeah, I
don't know. Spencer Brown got flagged. I mean, I guess if you're going to get flagged, he should have gotten violent with that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
If you're going to take the penalty, knock him out, I guess.
This is starting to sound a little bit like a hockey phone call. I need to protect my stars. I mean, Allen matters more than anything on this earth for this team. There's no question about that. But he is going to take off and run, and he's going to be vulnerable because of it, and that's a part of the equation. I mean, injuries happen. It stands to reason that at some point, hopefully no time real soon, he's going to get dinged. Almost all these guys do not go through a career without missing significant time at some point or another. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen, I feel like. Again, maybe it won't. I'm not trying to be a jinx. I'm just saying it's just the nature of the beast. So, but I don't know, to protect him more, I need Marty McSorley on the ice? Like, what are we doing here? I don't know. I have a tough time with that part of it. I think they can call different things and try to protect him from himself with the way he plays, but I don't know. Sending messages and that kind of thing, I just think is antiquated thinking.
I also maybe want to point out that I think if you're Josh Allen, if you're Sean McDermott, I think you love what Spencer Brown did, because I think it was him standing up for his quarterback and not going crossing the line. And frankly, I thought what he did wasn't deserving of a penalty. Still got one. Mm-hmm. If I'm Sean McDermott, I'm going over to Spencer Brown and telling him I wouldn't have done anything different. We appreciate you going up to the guy and, you know, standing up for your quarterback. But it's the NFL. No, you know, short of Jacksonville Jaguars game 6 years ago or something, it's not like there's melees on the field.
Right.
There's no defender in the NFL that feels emboldened to take a cheap shot on Josh Allen because he doesn't fear that someone on the team is going to step up and handle it. Because secondarily, there are very few guys in the NFL that look at Josh Allen and think it's a smart idea to take a cheap shot on him, because he can kind of handle himself. He's a psychopath.
So that's a way to put it. All right, let's take a pause here and come back and take more of your phone calls at 716-803-0550. Again, eventually we will get around the locker room and hear from a selection of Bills players before we get done with this hour here on the post-game show. And then Nate will be along for still another, what are you going until 8 o'clock or so?
We'll go to
7:30?
Late. We'll go to late.
Okay. So Nate will be doing the heavy lifting after 6 o'clock here. So still time, really just letting you know there's a lot of time for you to get in and discuss what you saw today and what you're looking forward to moving into next week with the Chiefs coming into town. Bills over the Colts 30-20 to improve to 8-2 on the season, along with Nate Geary, who's in for Mike Schoeb today. I am the Bulldog, and this is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Back to pass, pressure coming, and looking for Pierce, and it's picked off by Taylor Rapp. It was tipped by Alec Pierce, and Rapp was all over it. It's another takeaway for Buffalo.
Taylor Rapp with a pick, Taron Johnson with a pick six to start the game after a Bills three and out and punt. Austin Johnson with his second interception since forever, right? Wasn't the story when he had the first one that he didn't have an interception ever prior, any level of football before. Now he's got two in the NFL. Pretty cool there. Damar Hamlin fell on a fumble caused by Gregory Rousseau when Flacco felt some pressure in the pocket. So a lot of takeaways today. A sloppy game game from Indianapolis. The Bills weren't exactly buttoned up on their end either. Allen threw a couple of picks in this game, but they were able to overcome and beat the Colts 30-20 to improve to 8-2. Glad to have you with us here on the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Nate Geary is sitting in for Mike Schoep today. I am the Bulldog. And to update Joe Kelly's update, the Jets are now down 21-6. J-E-T-S. Jets. Go Cardinals. I've never been happier with my Cardinals. You know, this show, both this postgame show and our local show in Buffalo, we have a long history of standing by the Cardinals through thick and thin.
We've been called in other, realms, Cardinals stands.
Yes, that's right.
So it's consistency. We do it
very happy. Very happy to see that result.
Our Cardinals, correct.
Today, right? The Patriots got a win today. Holy cow, the Bears.
Yeah, they're going to fire their OC, huh?
What is going on there? I mean, that is just a disaster. But the Pats get a win. The Jets are losing. The Dolphins don't play until tomorrow night. They play the Rams tomorrow night. So that's the rest of the AFC East for you.
All right, let's go to Sam in Indianapolis. Has been waiting patiently. Sam, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, guys. Shoep and Nate, thanks for having us. We're on the way back from Indy to Chicago. We just want to let everybody know there's about 75% Bills fans at the game. Wanted to get your thoughts. Hey, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year. We're 8-2. We got Kansas City coming into town. Yes, we beat them in the regular season the last couple of years, but wanted to get your thoughts. Hey, worst case scenario, we lose. We see them in Kansas City. All you got to do is beat them once. What are your thoughts? Thanks. Go Bills.
All right, appreciate it. Rebuilding year, I think, is a little strong, but it certainly was viewed widely, and I would even say that I subscribe to some of this as sort of a fall back and regroup kind of year. I don't think you're ever really rebuilding when Josh Allen is your quarterback, but there was a resetting that took place here with the number of veterans that were purged off of this roster. Of course, most notably Stephon Diggs and the $31 million in dead money, but you know the list. It's a long list, and it's stable names that meant a lot emotionally and schematically to this team, and they have done a great job here of really retooling on the fly here. Notice how I'm trying not to use rebuild, because I don't think it ever really was a rebuild, but they certainly changed. And I think what I give them credit for is that they recognize, despite all the happy talk about everybody eating, they realized they had, I think, a crisis growing in their passing game and acted on it by getting Amari Cooper in here. Now, he's missed two games in a row. I hope he gets back soon, because This receiver room, I think, needs his high-end ability in it for this whole thing to really come together here. I think you can beat teams like the Colts without much from certain guys who have to matter, but you're going to play some better teams here in the back end of this schedule, and I want to have my passing game humming as effectively as possible.
Yeah, I think the last couple of seasons after 2021, the Bills have been kind of unlucky, like going in towards the end of the year, just injuries happening early, and then, guys that are going to be out for the season that never end up coming back. And, this year they happened early, but it looks like you're going to get a Matt Milano back. It looks like, you should be getting Cooper and Coleman back. And, the hope here is that they can get through the season, get healthy, and be the healthiest you've been all year going into January. Would be a nice change of pace from the past couple of seasons. I definitely want to at least give a little credence to the conversations being had about the Bills. Maybe not by Bills fans or by Bills media, but the day that all those moves happened, when all those releases happened, I mean, it was, there were far more obituaries being written about this Bills franchise than there were this is a good thing, and they're getting rid of bad players. That really wasn't the conversations. They were, this window's closing, and all of the starts combined that the Bills were losing that day. I remember that day pretty clearly. I was in I think I was in Charlotte Airport when all this was happening, and I was thinking to myself, well, wow, this is a dramatic day for a franchise that has just had this sort of continuity. And again, I think we talked about this week on our flagship WGR 550, right? It's like, it kind of felt like this year you're getting the real true value, not just from the Bills being still being good and having their best record now through 10 games that they've had since Sean McDermott's been here, but looking elsewhere across the league with what bad coaching does. It's like you're seeing here in Buffalo what the value of great development, great coaching brings you. And then in New York and, you know, in Dallas, you're seeing good rosters with bad coaching that, you know, can't be successful. So I think it just, to me, this season has really replaced an emphasis on how important coaching is.
I think no matter how you cut it, the moves, especially with guys like Hyde, Poyer, and Tre'Davious White, it's important to remember here, especially with Poyer and White. I mean, Hyde's not even playing, so I don't know what he would be athletically right now. But the signs were troubling for Poyer. White was going to be coming off on yet another injury. And both of those guys, I think, look like they've hung on too long. Like their yeah. careers right now, the Bills got out at a very good time there. I thought, as unpopular as it is because of how emotional we feel attached to guys like Poyer and Hyde, I thought it was possible that they would improve on the field with different guys back there. And I mean, Hamlin is not a perfect player. He's not even a Pro Bowl level player. But another takeaway today, Rapp took the ball away yep. today. They're getting much more than bye at safety totally. Right now. And I think both of those guys are playing better than Poyer was for the last year and a half.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And I think I tweeted this out maybe before the game or just as the game started. But like their safety room got better by subtraction, and you know they're more athletic, and Taylor Rapp is a fairly physical player. There's a little bit more physicality in the room, and with Hamlin, listen, like he took a bad angle on that big run that Jonathan Taylor had. Mm-hmm. He does that once a game. He'll take a bad angle and he can't make up for it because he doesn't have that foot speed. But right. for me, Bulldog, like he's just always really in the right spot, and that's really all I need. I need my safeties to be able to communicate, not get beat over the top, which neither of them do, and, you know, just exist and be like an offensive lineman. If I don't hear your name, there's a good chance you're doing good things, you know?
Yep. And their corners have been mostly excellent this year, too, without Tre'Davious White. So
today I think their toughest through. Game, if I'm being yep. honest, too.
And, right, and they both gave up plays. Douglas and Benford both gave up completions.
And I think a little of that had to do too with how much the Bills were blitzing, which they don't blitz a lot, but it was very evident early in this game. The Bills were not getting home with four. And they were bringing a lot of really slow developing blitzes, just, you know, showing blitz from the linebackers and then having the linebackers bail out and then having like a safety and corner blitzing that just, by the time the ball was out, it was like those guys were barely hitting the line of scrimmage. I'd like them to go back and look at some things. I thought that blitzing Flacco would have been a part of a winning game plan today, but I didn't think they were particularly effective when they did blitz, and that's something I'd like to see them work out a little bit more. Just that was a tough watch today for me. Yeah. Just, you know, their inability to get after it. I know they end up with four sacks, but they just, again, it just really wasn't consistent. And it put, I think, at times stress on those corners.
Yeah. It maybe is surprising that we're this far into the postgame show and no one has called to complain about their inability to execute a screen pass.
Well, I think we're just tired of that.
Are we just numbed to it?
Yeah.
I mean, what? Why? Why is it so hard? Like, what are they doing that the other teams don't do? I mean, other teams abort screen passes too. We see quarterbacks throw it in the ground. You know, it happens. I just feel like the Bills just cannot get out of their own way when they call a screen pass.
I just don't know if it's like they don't sell it well. One of the things Eric Turner, Cover One, and I don't know, like 3 years ago, ended up doing a film breakdown on Josh Allen and how defenses, specifically defensive linemen, what they do against Josh Allen is when they get upfield, there's usually like that, okay, we pass the quarterback. They don't loop around. It's like they stop and come back down. And because of the way defenses and their rules in rushing Josh Allen tend to just put themselves back in position to defend a screen pass better than if those, you know, defensive line were flying right upfield. So I think a little of it is just a result of Josh being such a danger with his legs that teams aren't flying up the field and opening up those screen lanes underneath. But yeah, it's it's ugly. It's like a free play for the defense.
Yeah. You know, something else that we've seen a few times already this season in games is the defense adjusting in the second half. Jonathan Taylor was looking like he was on his way to a repeat of his performance.
Certainly
from
did.
3 years ago November, when he had 4 touchdowns and like 180 yards. He was over 100 yards in the first half. What do they have, 7 yards in the second half?
Yeah,
now, I know some of that's game script, but still, credit to the Bills. I mean, you had to be feeling like this guy's going to eventually really hurt you on top of what he did in the first half, and the Bills just clamped him down.
Yeah, you know, they gave up some big runs, some big chunk plays. I mean, the first half, the Colts were averaging about 7 yards a play had they not just been absolutely shooting themselves in their own foot, turning the football over. And, you know, listen, they scored the touchdown, the garbage time touchdown at the end. But, you know, this shot in the arm that Joe Flacco was supposed to give this offense, the, you know, being a veteran and not making bad mistakes. I mean, that first throw was, the first interception was like something I would expect Anthony Richardson to do, not him,
right,
you know?
Right.
It just trusted what he thought Taron Johnson was going to do. And it was just, it was an ugly play. I think for me, in this game, to be able to bounce back in the second half, their second half adjustments defensively have been really impressive to me this year. Even they've started several games slow, even dating back to like week one against the Cardinals, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right. Yeah.
They started slow and they really kind of clamped it down in that second half.
I don't think the Cardinals even had 100 yards of offense in the second half of that game. I think it was like 80 or something.
Yeah, they had that long touchdown. Who was it? Was it James Conner?
Well, they had a kick return touchdown.
That's what it was, a kick return touchdown. DJ Dallas, yes.
That was how they got their points there in the second half of that game. But, yeah, it's been a theme. The Bills have done a good job after halftime, really on both sides of the ball. You know, the offense has started slow plenty of times as well and managed to, get it going. So, well, you know, a big story will be here as we get ready to take a break and head for the locker room. We'll be following the injury news. We know Coleman didn't play in this game. It sounds like he could miss more than just this game. Amari Cooper was questionable, was ruled out early, and didn't play again. So hopefully he gets back. Now Dalton Kincaid left this game with a knee injury. So there could be a thinning of the ranks at the pass catcher positions for the Bills. Unless, of course, Cooper can get back, and I'll certainly be rooting for that and paying close attention to that as this week unfolds as the Bills get ready to host the Chiefs next Sunday. All right, as I mentioned, we got to take a timeout here, and then we're going to spin around the locker room here when we come back. You'll hear from both Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard as we continue. Nate Geary is in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog. The Bills beat the Colts 30-20 to improve to 8-2. Again, around the locker room after this. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back into the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Along with Nate Geary, I am the Bulldog. The Bills over the Colts 30-20 to improve to 8-2 on the season. They will host the Kansas City Chiefs at Highmark Stadium next Sunday at 4:25. The Chiefs got a late, and I mean late, final play of the game, field goal block from way in tight, too. Denver had a chance to win the game and walk it off. The Colts survive and win by 2, so they come in with a perfect record. It's time for us now to get to the locker room. First up, we're going to hear from Terrell Bernard, and these interviews are brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
What was the difference in the second half slowing down Jonathan Taylor?
I think just playing physical in the run game, defeating blocks with our hands, getting off, everybody flying to the ball. I think we kind of understood what formations were telling us and what runs were coming. I think that was the major adjustment, understanding just the scheme of what was happening and what was coming, and then, you know, fitting it better and getting to the ball, really.
The pick six to start the game, What did that do for you guys?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, Taron's a playmaker, and you know, first play in the pick six sets the tone for the game. The energy gets the mindset right and, you know, starts us off on a good foot. So, you know, we lean on Taren to make plays like that. And it was huge for us.
I think it's four or five or five of six of your since he's been back. You guys have held teams under 20. How important is he to what you do overall as a defense?
Yeah, he's super important. You know, he does everything. He can cover their best guys in the slot. He can play in the run game and then obviously, you know, take the ball away, whether it's a punch out, whether it's a pick. And he had a sack today too. So, you know, I think his versatility, just his ability to do pretty much everything at the nickel position, you know, gives us an edge on pretty much everybody. So.
Taren became the first defensive back in franchise history with a pick six and a sack in the same game. And then he almost had another probably pick six, I guess, down there as well. And just having him back in the lineup, maybe allowing other guys to even know what they're supposed to do a little bit better. Communication, how much does that matter?
For sure. Yeah, it matters. It matters a ton. You know, he's a vet in this defense. He knows it, you know, just as well as anybody. His presence out there, his communication, like you said, and then his ability to make plays. You know, he's one of the best nickels in the league for a reason. And, you know, he goes out every Sunday and proves it again. So, can't say enough good things about T.
At the end of the first half, they have the ball near midfield. They get a couple yards on third down. They line up to go for it on fourth down. End up calling a timeout and decide to punt. What's it do for a defensive mindset knowing that they didn't think they could get 1 yard against you guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, just in that situation, it's something that we practice. Bobby was giving me the situation in my headset, so we knew they were probably going to try to hard count us. You know, they're kind of backed up there, didn't want to give us a good field position for, you know, easy points. But, yeah, I think anytime, you know, it's fourth and short and they decide to punt it, you know, you kind of look at it and see what we've done in the past in those situations. And, you know, you understand it because, you know, we've bowed up a bunch of times and been able to get off the field in those situations. So it's credit to the guys up front, to Bobby getting us in the right position, and then all 10 other guys on the field going and making a play.
One of those times was in the red zone. Unfortunately, I know you had the ball in your hands, right? I mean, are you kicking yourself for that one? But you guys did wind up holding to a field goal there.
Yeah, man, those are the ones you got to get. You know, we talk about it all the time. You don't get too many opportunities to get your hands on the ball. Definitely one-on-one back, but, you know, learn from it and make it the next time. Ended up holding them to three. But, yeah, those are the ones you want to take away. So.
What is it like on the sideline? What's the energy level like when it's big play after big play all over? I mean, you really start to finish in this game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. You know, that's what our defense is built off of, taking the ball away. Flying to the ball, making plays, affecting the quarterback. And, you know, when it comes to fruition on Sundays, it's fun, man. You can feel the energy. Everybody just wants to get a piece of it and, you know, go out there and do it. So, you know, it's a good feeling and, you know, ready to do it again next week.
All right, there's linebacker Terrell Bernard. We'll continue along here and get to another of today's defensive heroes, and that is cornerback Taren Johnson.
I'm not sure what he was saying, but I've seen that play before. You know what I'm saying, against a different team. And I played it differently. I mean, we was in a different call too. But in the game, I seen it. I played it differently. And I feel like they were expecting me to play it a different way. And I took the ball. And after that, I just scanned the field and took it to the house. Oh, a great block. Yeah. I keep forgetting that I saw that. But, yeah, he had a great block for sure.
Knowing the offense was completed today, coming away with four takeaways, how gratifying is that for the defense?
It's huge. I know we're banged up on offense, but you know what I'm saying? Defense came out, and especially in that second half, we made a lot of plays, and I feel like that helped us win, for sure.
Taren, does it feel like when they come in bunches? I know that you guys have kind of always preached that the last couple of years.
I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would like to think that way, but, I mean, you just never know when your opportunity is going to come. So just making sure that I'm doing everything I can throughout the week to make the play when my opportunity comes.
You know, on the run defense, first half, it was a struggle. Mm-hmm. They were gashing you pretty good. Yeah. I mean, they had to go away from it a little bit in the second half.
Yeah.
But also, you stopped them in the second half too early. What was some of the turnaround there?
I just feel like execution. They threw some things that we really hadn't seen before. And when they tried to come back to it, I feel like we did a good job adjusting and executing.
Obviously, you guys make the play early on. When you have a play that early, does it change the day? Does it change kind of the way, not your mindset is, but is it like, you know, like, hey, we can make these plays?
I'll speak for myself. obviously, yeah, definitely we can make those plays. But at the same time, when it happens that early, I'm like, okay, on to the next play. Because, I mean, that was the first play of the game. So I'm like, I still got a whole game to play. So I'm just, my mindset was just focused on the next play.
All right, there's Taron Johnson in the Bills locker room following a 30-20 win. That's going to do it for this piece of the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Do stay tuned. Nate Geary will be continuing on our Buffalo affiliate here, taking your calls for a couple of more hours. So if you want to talk about the Bills, please keep the number handy, 716-803-0550, as we will be continuing our local coverage here on our flagship in Buffalo. But for now, that's it for me. Enjoy the evening. This is Buffalo Bills football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.